last week. It was just so incredible. So we're gonna finish the lesson from last week, and then we're gonna be heading into, and we're gonna continue looking at biblical fasting over the next several weeks. But just want to remind you that what we were talking about last week is just pressing into the reality that we believe that fasting, we're looking at fasting as relationship with God. So one of the things that we've talked a lot about, and we're going to continue to talk a lot about, is that we believe that prayer is all about a personal relationship with God. We believe that prayer is simply talking to God because of Jesus' sacrifice through the Holy Spirit. So prayer is this incredible opportunity for us to press into the God family. And I know that for some of you, even when I say that, you're like tilting your head, scratching your head, you're looking at me. Just consider what the scripture says and what we're looking at. And I mentioned this before, but I just want to say it again because I don't think that we can overstate this. It's next to impossible to have a strong, growing relationship without proper or good communication. Let's stop right there. On a regular basis, I have people say to me, I don't sense, I don't feel, and we're talking about relationship with God and faith. There's a struggle, and yet weekly, we're having conversations with men and women that are struggling to open up their hearts and open up their insides and be raw and real and vulnerable and talk to God about what's really going on. Good communication helps earthly relationships, and good growing communication helps our relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A growing marriage relationship has ever-increasing communication, positive, proper communication skills. So it is with us, with conversation with the God family. And what we are encouraging is for us to learn to have deep, heartfelt conversations with Father God. Now, I've mentioned this. We've got some of these. If you want to pick one of these up, we gave those out just to be a blessing and to help you. And just to let you know that we are in the process of developing a chart like this for fasting, because as we're pressing into fasting, I think it's super important for us to understand the different reasons, motivations, the different push behind certain aspects of fasting, and we're going to be pressing into that. Last week, we mentioned four different things to you to help you understand. And one of the things I just want to mention again, if you didn't get in on this, is that we're just really trying to define biblical fasting in the absence of food or the absence of food. We're also trying to just really define two different terms. Fasting is about food, and abstinence is about withholding or not partaking of certain things. So when we're talking about biblical fasting, we're talking about food and controlled appetite, things like that. But when we're talking about abstinence, we're talking about things that I'm going to abstain from social media for a week, or there's all different other kinds of things. And either way, these are both things that we need to press into. I just want to remind you, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, this is what Jesus said, or this is what Jesus experienced, and then I'm going to read what Jesus said in a few minutes. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Think about that. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Just a little encouragement there. Into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted, and he became very hungry. So scripture says that Jesus was in every single point tested like we are, tempted like we are, yet he made those choices to not sin. Matthew chapter 6. We've talked about this, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is a model example. Look at verse 5 and 6. This is what Jesus said. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward that they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Jump down to verse 16. This is what he says. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled And so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth. That's the only reward that they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Now, one of the things that I just want to remind you of is we're continuing into this fasting component, that it is super important to us to just lay this simple foundation. And we have to continue to go back to this over and over again. And we have studied, we've looked at the Sermon on the Mount together. I don't even know whether we're in the Sermon on the Mount for a year, year and a half. I forget how long it was, but it was a good little bit. And then we've studied Romans chapter 12 together. We broke down Romans chapter 12. We looked at John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 leading up to Easter. Then we studied the first half of the book of Acts together, highlighting certain things from the book of Acts. And all these intertwined together to help reinforce the focus of what we're presenting, but is the difference between a human system of trying to earn God's approval versus faith relationship, which is very personal. That's what all of these studies are intertwined into. This has to be a personal thing. And I'm just going to confess that my heart and mind have been illuminated the past several months as we've pressed in together to understand the depths of God's love and His desire for us to know Him personally. I want you to understand, I'm not just standing up here proclaiming stuff that I'm not experiencing. My relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is changing, as is with many of you. I am learning and I'm experiencing new things. Concepts like forgiveness, love, mercy, redemption, faith, grace, and rescue. They're not just biblical concepts or theology statements, but they become personal experiences through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus as the Son of God. As we believe and follow Jesus, we have the privilege of having God's Holy Spirit live in us to help us learn the way of truth. And this, think about this. It creates a genuine freedom of spirit, soul, and mind. I'm just going to say again publicly, in this church family, we're not trying to control people. What we are trying to do is live in what God has called us to, and we're trying to experience and have this regular love exchange, because when you really begin to live in and understand the love of God for you, there is a freedom that comes from the Holy Spirit that's absolutely It's breathtaking. It's incredible. And a lot of us come from situations where we feel like that there's all this control and this manipulation. And a lot of times when I'm sharing my heart and my passion, yeah, I'm going to be raw. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be straightforward. But my goal is not to control anybody. But I'm trying to get you to embrace freedom so that you can experience the love of God and that you can experience what He has for you. Think about this. Prayer is all about relationship with God, and fasting is an extension of that growing passionate desire for closer relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Did you get what I just said? There's a lot of different reasons we can fast, but in the biblical context of what we're going to talk about, fasting should be an extension of this growing, passionate desire for to have a closer relationship with God. So prayer is there, you are talking, you're sharing your heart. And so I want you to view, and there's, you can't separate the two. That's the reason why we talk about prayer and fasting, because fasting should be this desire for this love exchange to get even deeper and stronger And it should just simply be out of a growing prayer life. And I'm just going to say this to you. As we move forward, and as we call our church for the first time to fast together and to bind together, if you are not taking baby steps toward an impassioned, growing prayer life, I want to caution you about fasting. Just because they go together. And I do believe that for some of you, if you were to make that step, it would be helpful. We are daily learning to love God and to love others. That's why we constantly say that we're learning, growing, and changing through the process of taking baby steps. That's when we talk about... I'm trying to be careful. There's bad BS and there's good BS. The good BS is baby steps. Bad BS, I'll let you figure that out. Okay? Talking to God from your honest self, conversation with Him, is central to this process of love exchange. I'm just blown away on a regular basis having conversations. And I'm so thankful that we can have open dialogue. But so many people are still so restricted by just being honest with God about what they're struggling with. And I know that some of you, you come from a tradition where you're more focused on the theological word structure, or you're trying to say the right thing. And I'm just going to be frank with you. I believe that, and because of that, we are trying to be raw and real with God about what you're really struggling with. Don't worry about whether the words sound pretty. That's just about being able to have a conversation with Him, because we believe it's central to this process of love exchange. And I'm gonna keep talking about this love exchange, because that's the very basis of what we're pursuing with prayer and fasting. Think about it. It should not be viewed as an obligation, but rather an opportunity to engage with the very creator of the universe. Fasting becomes an intensifying or amplifying experience to help us focus more keenly on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's another step to experiencing the depths of God's love and desire for our lives with them. I read last week, I'm not going to read page 56 and 57 in here, but I mentioned last week, it's an amazing book. If you don't have one, let us know. If you can't find it, we will get you one of those. He says this: we obey God because we have to, which is fear. We obey out of selfishness, which is in order to get something from Him. Or the highest level of obedience is we obey for love. We want to. I mentioned last week, love is where we begin to focus on the giver, not the gift. This understanding of God's love for us in relationship must be foundational as we seek to understand the power of fasting together. Let me just be really raw and honest with you. I'll share more next Sunday. But because of such a negative fasting experience when I was heading into college, I said to God, I will never fast again, and I will not teach on fasting until you show me what this is really all about and what you want. Fast forward, some of you know that would mean a huge gap in years. Now, have I cheated when the doctor says you need to fast for whatever blood work? That's totally different. I'm talking about fasting in regards to Father God. So I want to share with you that this last week was the first time since I was a young man that I was able to experience fasting rooted in love relationship. It was a first time experience for me personally. Not because I had to, not because, but simply because I wanted to, because of this growing love exchange. And I say that to encourage some of you. We all have things that we're working through. We all have things that we're dealing with. But I'm standing up here this morning and proclaiming to you from an honest, open heart that there is a huge difference between fasting for all these other reasons and fasting because the foundation is love and relationship. Are you tracking with me? I've experienced that now, and it has totally changed the way that I view things. We believe that prayer and fasting, and just keep saying it, it's all about a personal relationship with God. Love should be one of the supreme motivating factors for us, our learning to talk to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to learn the depths of that love. And love should be one of the supreme motivating factors of our learning to deny oneself, to seek our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to learn the depths of that love. And see, here's the thing. Before we move forward, I'm just going to keep saying this. Our goal is to create clarity regarding our motivation for fasting, and that it can be a natural extension of this developing prayer life. But here's where I need to just go back and remind you of some of these things, because I believe it all comes together. And for some of you, I'm hoping that it's all going to connect here. You've heard me say this before, but especially as we're leaning into self-denial, but not just self-denial from the standpoint of us trying to be ascetics or press into asceticism. And if you don't know what that is, you can study that and find out what it is. But what we are doing is we are pressing in because we have this growing, passionate desire to be close to God. But even opportunities and privileges take self-control and self-discipline in order to have a sustained experience over a prolonged period of time. I want you to begin to see how a lot of the things that we've been studying, they really begin to come together, and they all fit together when we start talking about prayer and fasting from the standpoint of relationship and what we're talking about. Opportunities and privileges take self-control and self-discipline in order to have a sustained experience over a prolonged period of time. And we're going to just talk about an elephant in the room for some of you. I know that we had a lot of people the first service, and I know that it's true in the same thing. I don't want anybody to stop coming to me and saying, "Hey, Pastor Tim, God is blessing. There's great things going on. We're super excited. But we're also super scared for our church. And please hear me." And they will say to me, "We have been a part of a church in Madison County or a church family somewhere else that God blessed and got to a certain point, and then it either exploded or it imploded. And please hear my heart. There's a couple things I need to say in regards to that, because it has everything to do with what we're talking about. Number one, we have to understand our individual importance in this body. And I'm just going to say, if you've just come to faith or you're growing in your faith with Jesus, you've heard me say it over and over again from a different perspective, but I'm going to say to you right now, the faith, the forgiveness, the beautiful things that we're experiencing together, we are hated by the forces of evil. Satan and his legions do not want in any shape, form, or fashion the beautiful expression of forgiveness and restoration and love and faith and hope. Some of you beginning to believe for the first time, and there's just hope welling up inside of you. Do you think the forces of evil are applauding what we're doing? No, some of you are under attack. You mentioned it earlier during our praise session. Do you think the attacks are by accident? And then here's what happens is that he begins to start picking us off one by one because we don't think that we matter anyway, because we've got this twisted view of church. Instead of living in community and being a family, then what winds up happening is this person is under attack. And if we're not living in community and we're not supporting one another, then we don't know how to stand next to each other. But hear me when I say this. There's also something else here. For us to have this sustained over a long period of time, which some of you, in your mind, the jury's still out on whether that can take place. Enter deeper relationship, deeper dependence through prayer and fasting, so that we can experience the clarity and guidance and love of the Holy Spirit, not just for a short burst, but for a sustained long period of time. And that's going to take a level of self-control and self-discipline for us to press in together. I'm just being raw and real with you this morning. We are, for the first time as a church family, we've never asked our church family to fast together. But God has grown us and matured us to the point and revealed things to us that I believe that it's time. It's time for us to go to the next level together. Orrin Woodward says, self-denial in the pursuit of purpose generates true pleasure, while self-indulgence in the pursuit of pleasure generates true misery. Think about the difference. When I asked you before, and I've asked you again, I'm just going to ask you straight up, are you pursuing God like you are desperately dependent on Him for your existence? The view of God that I was presented with, and I'll just be honest with you, as a man, it didn't take a whole lot of convincing, because as a man, I struggled with this. But most of the time, a level of desperate dependence on God was based on my efforts, my plans, my approach being foiled, destroyed, or just broken apart. Or I believed that I had to make myself poor physically, live in poverty, because if I was placed in poverty or poverty situation, then my absolute dependence would be on God. And so then when I would go on mission and I would go out of the country, and you go to a third world country and you go to bless and help other people or to be a blessing within the church there, and you get these people that don't even hardly have food to eat during the day, and you see that they have this joy and they have these things, and they've just got this internal peace that sometimes we don't have here in America. All these things kind of maybe can reinforce that. And then it's probably about, I don't know how many years ago now, that I began to understand that the challenge for us here in America is that we don't have to have our nation destroyed or your home and family obliterated to make a personal choice to live desperately dependent on our Lord. And so what I have been trying to do in my pursuit of Christ is make the choice, regardless of, like what Paul said, whether I got stuff overflowing or whether I don't have anything, I'm going to live with contentment. And I believe that what we miss about Paul is that Paul had this desperate dependence for interactive relationship, this growing love exchange with the very God who saved him. So I want to make this very plain before I ask you some hard questions. this church family, we are, and I'm telling you, for me personally, we are going to continue to live the remainder of our days not based on a human plan, like a business plan that we can put together and we can check all the boxes and we can get everything lined out and we could project what our growth is going to be. And we've got all these connotations and we've got all these formulas so that we can press in to church growth. And then when it starts happening, we look at each other and we're like, man, we're right on plan. We're right on cue. We're doing all this thing. No, we're not pursuing that. We're asking God for wisdom. We're going to take business principles. We're not going to be stupid. But what I'm trying to help you understand is that we are trying to live obedient to the point where if God doesn't show up and rescue and provide, we are in trouble. We are desperately dependent. Because here's the thing, none of us came up with this mission. None of us were a part of saying, hey, here's what church should be. Let's launch this. Let's figure this out. No, we are trying to learn to be apprentices of Yeshua and follow after him and figure this thing out. He's the one that is the head of the church. He died for us. So we're trying to continue to learn to walk in his ways. And that means being desperately dependent on him. So let me ask you this. Are you choosing to live in relational dependence? I pour my heart out. I try to be just genuine and real and honest. Because I know for me, and I'm asking you, are you desperate for a growing relationship with our Lord? You do understand that we're not that far from the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the scribes. The wealth that we experience, you may say, oh, I'm struggling. The majority of people around the world would love to struggle the way that we struggle. Are we choosing? Am I making a choice? The Father, I need you. I am so desperately dependent on you. My mind is dependent on you. My soul is dependent on you. Or do we go to him as a last resource? Because let's be honest, we're so wrapped up in ourselves that we got everything covered until we don't. It's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a prayer relationship where we are desperately dependent and holding on to him. We're talking about leaning into fasting, not something we have to do because we're like this cool religious body. No, because we long to, because this desperation to draw close to him is making us long for, I want more of you, so I'm going to say less for myself. I'm going to say it again, and I confess to you that for me, I am, and our church family, as we move forward, I am absolutely, unequivocally, desperately dependent on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to provide for his body, his flock, his church. Let's be honest, most of us are desperately dependent on something or someone. It would help you live in freedom if you just identified what or who you're desperately dependent on other than Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't know where you are, but I'm asking you to trust Jesus today and learn to depend on his love and leadership, not just for eternity. Isn't it funny how we have these conversations like, I'm going to trust God with my eternal existence, but I'm not going to trust God right here, right now, with what's going on in my life. I say to people weekly now, will you just let God be God? And I believe this. God wants to show himself mighty on our behalf. And how does he do that? When we just come to him and say, I'm desperately dependent on you. If you don't help me, I am in trouble. Will you join us on the path of us just learning to be apprenticed? This apprenticeship program of Yeshua. Jesus of Nazareth. We're trying to encourage one another. We're trying to help one another. We are trying to figure out what does this learning process with Jesus look like and what does it look like together. What does it look like? Honesty, truthfulness, openness, and a collective sense of we are going to help one another. And there is something beautiful that God responds to when an individual, then a group of people proclaim to him that we are 100% desperately dependent on your help. We have no other salvation. We have no other choice. We have no other option. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you are it for us. Are you making excuses for yourself? Or are you just being raw with God and say, if you don't help me, I'm in trouble? The problem is most of us don't really believe that. I'm good. You know, what's amazing is everybody that I talk to, when they think they're good, then they fall on their face and they turn to him and he bails them out and transforms their lives. They're astounded. Well, let's learn from that and let's just press into him and let's live over a long period of time. Just be astounded because he responds to those who desperately trust him. I don't know what it is. I know I got my hands full with me. I'm pressing in like never before, privately and publicly before y'all. I am absolutely 100% desperately dependent on my relationship with God. And I'm learning how to pray. Men, as a man, I'm learning how to open my heart up. I'm learning what fasting is. So let's do it together. As our worship team comes, if you need to talk to somebody this morning, then talk to somebody. If you just need to talk to God and you don't need to talk to another human being, then talk to God. Get things right. Open your heart up. And I'm just asking you, maybe for the first time, just believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And he came and lived and died and rose again because he loves you personally. And he wants you to know that on the most intimate level. Let's stand and follow along with our team.